You got to realize that I've been in my house the entire time, with the exception of a solo backpacking trip up to Black River State Forest, where I got Lyme disease.
No way.
Yeah, the ticks up there were crazy. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's all handled now. Wasn't a big deal because it was caught early, but it's just like, I go out of the house once and I get Lyme disease.
This is what you get for going out and having a good time, DP. Come on.
Well, exactly. But I know you're like me, man. You're one of those people who just has to be close to a wood fire every now and then. And frankly, I followed you and on your feeds, of course, and I saw that you've done some fun trips up north. You were around Superior or something like that?
Yeah, I did two Superior trips. One was about 10 days, Superior Duluth area. One was 10 days. And the other was a couple of weekends. So I'll be going back up there. I'm either going to go to Black River Falls State Forest in October or Black River Falls State Forest and a place just about an hour north of Superior Duluth.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really for me. And you know this because you do solo trips. It really helped me be like, okay, I'm ready for the next phase of my life. I'm ready to let go of what was there. Things are not always going to be easy, but it's going to be okay. And for me, it was just very centering and grounding to be on that big water in particular. It's funny because I grew up on Lake Michigan and I'm not a big fan of Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not either.
So it's kind of bizarre. It's like I love, love, love Lake Superior, and Lake Michigan's like, it's all right.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we don't need to go into great detail about the psychological aspects of it, but we're all going through tremendous change right now. And all of us are feeling it in different ways. And I think that based on what I've seen on your Instagram feed and things like that, you're kind of doing what I'm doing, which is trying to get back to the core of who I am.
Absolutely.
You know, and part of that was getting back to really touching the outdoors in a meaningful way.
100%. That for me is a big, I've worked in a lot of indigenous communities, and right now with jiu-jitsu, I'm studying Bushido. And Bushido, you may know, is a combination of Buddhism, Shintoism, which is the native belief system, the belief of the natives of Japan, and Confucianism. And I'm a big believer that, you know, this is in many ways, whatever you want to call it, Earth, Mother Earth, God, whatever makes sense to you. But one of the ways of saying, hey, humans, settle down. You don't need all this crap in your life. You know, sit, be quiet, find out what's important to you. Get back to nature. Get back to what you were designed to be. You know, because we were, you know this, I mean, it's the beauty of solo backpack trips. We were designed to live in nature. We weren't designed to live the way we do. And we get caught up in all this crap and external stuff that really, when it's all you think about and it's all you see, it becomes your world and you think it's real and you lose perspective of what's important. And you know, getting out in the woods, being around dogs for me is very much a part of that reminder of what really makes sense. But the fact that it's the first time you and I have experienced and the world in a long time has experienced it globally is where some of my mentors and elders will say, see, you know, it isn't just you going through this. This is the earth saying to everybody, bro, settle down, you know. Check what's important. Is this really what you need? You really need that, you know, whatever it is. And because you bought that or because somebody liked your post, you're happier and better. Or is it just, you know, getting back to your core of, you know, hey, every now and then I need to be alone and go hike.
Yeah.
And I needed that, you know, and just for me, it took the divorce to really. And actually the other day I was talking to my soon to be officially ex-wife, and I just said, you know, I'm really glad that you had the courage to call this, because now that I look back at where things were, just had gotten bad for us, and not bad in any way, like obvious from the outside, but just really lost touch with who we were as individuals and grown so far apart as a couple. We weren't really bringing out the best in each other. And, you know, I think many ways COVID is similar to that. I would much rather not be going through this.
Right.
Especially with winter coming and living completely alone. But I also know that it's necessary and it's an opportunity to be really introspective. And I've learned this again through jiu-jitsu, which is the idea that you're always going to be in a tough spot when you're in a roll is what it's called in jiu-jitsu in a match. But if you learn to breathe through it, if you learn to think through it, if you learn to have perspective through it, you can always see a light in it. And that's up to you to be able to tap into that light. And that includes you getting tapped out. That doesn't mean you win every match. And I think very, very similarly, that's what this is it's an opportunity in many ways. It's going to be hard, but also when you approach it, knowing that parts of it are going to be hard, that's a big thing I've learned in the last 2 years. And instead of wanting everything to be okay, saying it's all right that it's not going to be okay, and I'm going to be ready for it. That totally changes the game for me. I actually learned that from one of my Big Ten football coaches. He coaches down at Northwestern, and he was the one who taught me that when they talk to players about there's going to be a bad point in a game, there's going to be a hard point in a game, just know that here's that how you can deal with it. Or when you first come to the university, you're going to really struggle and you're going to be homesick and you're going to have a hard time, and just know that now you can deal with it. That just changes the whole thing.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
What you're really talking about is the fact that not only yourself, not only myself, but the entire world is going through a forced reset.
Absolutely.
Whether you like it or not, it's a forced reset. And, you know, other people are facing health challenges that aren't not COVID related, but still, absolutely, it's a forced reset, a divorce, a forced reset, loss of a job, forced reset. And you can choose to look at it as this kick in the teeth or an opportunity to get back to who you actually are. And, you know, here on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I'm a huge believer in kind of the first principles of who you are, who you actually are, and that being the actual foundation for what I like to call your completely true, completely you brand. And we all know people are just fronting and faking it out there. And we see it all day long, especially on in your Facebook. But let me tell you, there are a ton of people out there that are really starting to look at what's important to them and getting back to that. And almost shedding off a skin that no longer fits them.
You know? Very true. Very true. Yeah. And I would add for me, and I think for a lot of people who are like me, is when you said, you know, kind of those two experiences of getting kicked in the teeth and an opportunity for growth, as I've learned, and I didn't want to learn this. So this is that it's both, that a kick in the teeth is not a bad thing.
Right.
It hurts in the moment, but it is not a bad thing. And I have learned that for me, because I'm a slow learner sometimes, I need that kick to eventually get me to the point of saying, okay, I have to pivot. I don't have a choice. And not that it's this, you know, like life or death, super scary, although in some cases with COVID, it can be, but it's really more just that some of us just, even when we've got those signs of, you know, you need to make a change, you need to make a change, we ignore them, you know, it's kind of like the fire or crying, you know, whatever, that until it gets so bad, we don't do anything with it. And again, I'm in that camp. And that's why I'm saying that is that, you know, it sometimes takes that to really take that look back and say, this is where I am at. And I've gone with the flow in many ways. Is this really where I want to be? I gave up, you know, camping. I gave up spending time outdoors. I never pursued a martial arts. You know, didn't do some of the things that I wanted to do. And nobody ever told me I couldn't. It was just like, well, as a husband, as a dad, as a provider, I just don't have time for that. I'm supposed to do these other things instead. And, you know, lost myself in the process. And, you know, it's hard to be a good friend, hard to be a good spouse, hard to be a good parent, whatever it is, when you don't have that anchor of who you are. You know, you're not grounded in who you are, I think is a better way of saying it. And that you have to nurture all the time to know what that brand is. That's why, and you and I both know that identifying that brand of you, who you are, and really having the nonfiction element of it, that takes work. That takes work to do. And it's an ongoing process. You know, it's an evolutionary process. Harry Potter didn't stop after the first book. You know, new characters were introduced and things happened. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. And so we've got to be aware of that too, that it's okay to change and adapt and say that was a part of me, but you also need to know those core elements, as we were talking about, with campfires, with spending time outdoors, that ground you so much that you, they're fuel, and you need to always do those in some way to really maintain that truth to the characters of the story, you know, the storyline, however you want to phrase it, to make sure it is nonfiction. And that's not easy, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Well, you know, so many people are out there talking about, you got to find out who you are, who you are, who you are. And a lot of people are like, is there some kind of secret recipe or secret sauce for discovering that? And I like to say, no, you already know it.
Yeah.
But have you really looked at it lately? Like, people used to make fun of me when I was a kid, always calling me Nature Boy, because I always wanted to be out catching frogs or, you know, building a lean-to in the woods someplace. And, you know, even when the college I chose to go to was in the middle of the state of Wisconsin, because I loved being surrounded by forest. And I thought I was going to be a forestry major. That didn't stick. But that whole idea of wanting to be in touch with nature was ingrained in me, or not ingrained in me. I mean, it was already there. It's DNA. And other people are going to be different. Like, I know people, like, obviously, if anybody watches my videos, they know I've got a wall of guitars behind me, because I love guitars and I love music and I love playing and I love writing crappy songs that nobody wants to hear. I don't really care, because it's not for you. It's for me.
Absolutely.
But my life without them is like plain, boring vanilla.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I'm ever going to be a fantastic player, but I always want to be associated with it in some way. And so that's core to who I am. So when I think about the stuff in my house that I would take if there was a fire, I know first, get the dogs out, get the kids out, get my wife out, and then grab one specific guitar. Because nothing else matters except that guitar, because I wrote all the songs I wrote about my daughters on that guitar.
Oh, how cool.
And I wrote the songs for my wife on that guitar. And that's the guitar my daughters are going to fight over when I'm dead. You know, I've already got that planned out, because I know that that aspect of me is absolutely central to who I am, what I do, and how I do it. And, you know, I know you well enough to know that you've always had a deep interest in the Stoic philosophers, Marcus Aurelius, you know, Seneca, and others. You know, the idea that if you think the problem's out there, that's the problem. You know, the only person over whom you have control is yourself. You know, there's no bad in the world. There's only the way you approach that challenge you're facing. And it sounds like you're really diving into that by going into jujitsu, which is a martial art, which is as much philosophy as it is physiology.
100%. And then, you know, I'm going to just circle back on a couple of key points that you made that really hit home for me. One is that it's not so much a process of discovery and finding something that's outside of you. It's unearthing what is already there.
Yes.
And I think that's a mistake that I made, was thinking it had to be external. And Michelangelo once said this, supposedly said it, when he was asked about the David, and like, how did you create the David out of that piece of marble? And he's like, I just took away the pieces that didn't belong. It's all about
right. Right.
And the other thing too, with the guitar, that I love that you said, is that there are elements of things and part of who we are that we need to just practice. So what I love is, like, in jujitsu, it's called practice. You're not going to exercise or work out. You're going to just practice. And in the moments of practice, whatever it is, it's who you become through that practice, not the practice itself, that matter. So if you never become a great guitar player, that's not the goal. The goal right. is that it puts you somewhere that allows you to tap into creativity, tap into who you are, and tap into an essence that you might not even be able to put in words. And for me, that's what jujitsu does, is that it's something that's inexplicable, and everybody has that. And being able to just say, I'm never going to be great at it. I'm going to do some competition someday when COVID ends, just to see how I do. But that's not my goal. My goal is, in essence, to challenge myself, to push myself, and to get into flow. And the book that I have behind me, the Book of Five Rings right here, was written by the gentleman who's considered the greatest samurai swordsman of all time in the 1640s, Miyamoto Musashi. And you talk about a parallel with Stoicism, the philosophy. Bushido is a cornerstone of the samurai tradition. And the samurai tradition, the word samurai itself means to serve. So it's all about service. It's all about development. And yeah, they were tough and they were, you know, incredible warriors, but that's not, they were incredible warriors because of what was here and here. The sword was just an element of that. The archery was just an element of that. And so for me, one of the things I think that is central, and this is whether it's camping or doing jujitsu, is our bodies are a part of that exploration. And if we're lucky enough to have the, you know, the ability to move around, I think that has been so healing for me as I've dealt with, you know, going through a divorce and dealing with depression and dealing with anxiety and really learning that my body has to be used as a part of that. And that the body is like a physical manifestation of the things you're studying and thinking about. So studying stoicism and reading about it is one thing. Studying, you know, a great warrior from the 1640s who literally sat in a cave with a whale oil lamp writing this as he knew he was going to die after 60 years of being in this incredible samurai. They all lived through experience. Marcus Aurelius didn't just write things down. He did them. Seneca didn't just write things down. He lived them. Same thing with Miyamoto Musashi. And that's something that is true for all of us. It wasn't like exceptional to them. All of us need that. All of us have that ability in us as well. I truly believe that. Nothing made those people that we're talking about exceptional in the sense that they were born with something most of us don't have. And they were like a bolt of lightning struck that day as they were coming out of the womb. That's a load of crap. They just practiced and they built it. And it's not easy, but it's something that we can all tap into. And those daily practices, playing the guitar, going for a walk with the dogs and being quiet, spending 5 minutes sitting out in nature, hearing a good quote from Seneca and just really contemplating it and writing, that's all part of the daily practice. That when you do that, it builds, and it's like chipping a piece of marble off of that big block, and suddenly our own individual Michelangelo comes out. And whether or not anybody else ever sees it and cares about it, who cares? Because when we see it and feel it inside of us, we become content and we become purposeful. That nonfiction element comes out because it's who we are. And that's a beautiful thing. It's forged. There's no, you know, there's no magic wand to get it, in my experience at least, without going through some challenging stuff. But we're all capable of handling that when we do those things that nurture us, when we're willing to listen to podcasts like this, where you hear people not only sharing tips and advice about what they're doing with business or with social media, but also there's a lot that you, in terms of the questions you ask and the guests that you have, that extract that real humanness, in my opinion. And those nuggets are there for us to all tap into. And then, you know, you interact with people in the community and now you have some supports that can help you as you go along this journey, because we all need that. We all, you know, humans are a social species and we need that. And we need to listen to stuff like the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Just reminders, we can do this.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
The closest thing I have to a recipe for what I like to call nonfiction branding is that who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And I love the fact that you're talking a lot about the what you do part, the practice part. And I love the fact that you were talking about how jujitsu is about practice. It's about doing it. It's about engaging in it. And so I would encourage any listener out there to think about yourself from this point of view, which is, what do you do on a daily basis that is absolutely core to who you are? Because a lot of people get hung up on that who you are part without, you know, really interrogating the what I do part. For example, let's say what you do is, I love to cook. So consequently, I cook every day for my family. I get a lot of joy out of it. That's, you don't just cook. You prepare, you organize, you get to use your taste and every sense in your body to create this thing. So you're really creating something and finding a creation space for yourself where you are truly manifesting who you are. So to say that, well, I guess I'm a cook, it's like, no. That's a job description. What you're doing is you're creating, and you're creating in a different way than other capital C creatives might be, but you need to embrace that creativity and understand that, yeah, I am creative. Another example would be, and we went through this as a culture, what was it last year maybe when Marie Kondo was everywhere all over Netflix with her, does it give you joy, organization stuff?
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people out there who are natural born organizers and operations people who have never come to the terms with the fact that that is an incredibly valuable skill and superpower that someone like me would pay for because that is not my superpower. If you are that organizational, operational minded person, that's key to who you are as a personal brand and something you should be demonstrating to the public at large. So they go, I need someone to help organize this. I know who to get.
Absolutely. And what I've discovered in learning, so I've been digging into things like the DISC profiles and some other profiles that we use here in Western culture. And DISC, if you don't know, is a personality type profile that can dig really, really deep. But one of the things is when you know your profile, and it doesn't need to be DISC, it could be something else. But when you have self-awareness to know what you are, you can also start to identify how you get fueled. So for example, the C in DISC, there's four categories. The Cs tend to not want any personal recognition. They just, and they fit the profile of what you just described. The superpowers are organizing and lifting other people up and living vicariously through others. And you hit it spot on is that, so maybe the way you market is a little different than you and I do, DP. Maybe it's a little more subtle, but that's where you say you work with somebody like us and you say, can you help me share what I'm doing? Can you also help me with a testimonial or sit down with me and tell and explain to me why you like what I do? Because one of the things that's a problem with all of our superpowers is we assume because we have them, other people have them as well.
Right.
And so we forget that. I, for example, was talking to a friend who's an accountant, and I'm like, you could put hot pokers in my, and there's all due respect to accountants,
right?
Hot pokers in my eyes all day. There's no way I would do that. And she's like, really? And I'm like, I would totally pay you for that because I don't want to do it. It just doesn't bring me joy. It is not a practice that I want to do. And that's the cool thing is when we look at from a business standpoint, true ethical business, in my opinion, and I've been lucky enough to have conversations with people like Dave Ramsey, Zig Ziglar, some other folks like that, is really about service. And all you're doing is it's an exchange of value. I value your time enough to help me take care of all of my business books that I'm willing to pay you X amount of dollars because I don't want to do it. I value my time enough that I do not want to figure out podcasting and I don't want to figure out my brand. So I'm going to listen to DP's podcast. I'm going to talk to him about hiring him to do the podcast for me or hire him to come and speak at my event to talk about these things. I don't get that. I understand it's important, but I don't want to do that. And so the idea is identifying that and realizing there is a value that you bring and that being comfortable sharing that with people and letting people know that it's there. And that's where you get that to me. And I've been lucky enough to have this experience. You get that fulfillment as well as financial payment. And it's like, man, the work I'm doing matters to me. Oh, and guess what? I can live off of that and I can support my family and I can donate to things I care about. That's like, for me, that's kind of like a nirvana type place of, is it like that every day? No, but when it is the majority of the time, that's when you know, okay, my brand is spot on. I've dug far enough and it takes a while to get there. So doing different jobs to get you there, like is what I did. And just discovering while doing things on the side that are hobbies that build my creative energy. That's what you do. Cause nobody sits down one day and says, this is the only job I want to do. Once I get it, it's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be rainbows, unicorns and butterflies. And then you get that job. That's, I think, another myth that's hard when people are like, well, I can't figure out my brand because sometimes I struggle and sometimes it just doesn't feel perfect or right. It's like everybody goes through that to a degree where you question, especially as you're starting that venture of questioning, is this really who I am? Is this really what I'm about? Is this really how I'm going to serve? Is this really how I'm going to create? And that's where I love jujitsu because every jujitsu class, it went when non-COVID, every class you have sparring, what's called rolling. You always have to go against somebody else. You can opt out of it, but nobody does. I a lot of times in the beginning, I did not want to do it because I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to be hurt, blah, blah, blah. So you kind of get over your fear, first of all. But if you're in a good studio, what they will do is they will work to your level and they'll just explain a couple of things are going to happen where we'll put you in a position where we're just going to see how do you react? How do you start figuring out when you're in a tough spot? Do you panic? Do you stop breathing? Do you start like going crazy with your pushing? Or do you sit, be thoughtful, look for an opportunity and contemplate while you're in that discomfort to find, maybe I'll try this. And then if that doesn't work, okay, maybe I'll try this. And I think that's metaphorical in many ways of saying, you know, I'm 30 years old. I hate what I'm doing. What do I do now? To just breathe in that and say, okay, first of all, I recognize I don't know what my brand is. What do I do now? I start thinking about it. Well, some days it's going to be hard and I'm not going to know and I'm going to be frustrated. And it's okay to just sit in that and be like, damn, this sucks. But know then that there are resources like the good teachers when they're rolling with you who will stop a match and say, well, maybe you should have tried doing an Americano here, or maybe you could have done a Kimura grip. Or when I did this to you, you could have, you know, in the same way saying, you know, maybe you could sit down and journal and just think about what are some of the things that you tried that you hated. Since you can't figure out what you work, figure out what you hate and why you hated it. And let's start identifying jobs that have that or parts of your brand as to why that might be. So you don't pursue those things.
Yeah, well, as you can see, I love having Don Stanley on the podcast because all I have to do is say topic and we're off for a good 30-minute episode without a problem. However, this does mean we have to wrap up this episode, but don't worry. Don's back next week for a continued conversation about this and more. Don, how can people connect with you via social media if they are so inclined? What's your number one channel?
My number one channel is I'm experimenting right now, actually. I'm in the process of identifying, partially because of what I teach, because I teach digital marketing classes, exploring what those social channels offer and where I might move into my next phase as I start looking at deepening my brand in certain areas. So LinkedIn is a great place. Don Stanley 1294, which is the same handle on Facebook and Instagram. And then on Twitter, it's the number 3 Rhino Media. So looking at upping some of my interactions or my content creation too pretty heavily on YouTube over the next couple of months. So hit me up on any of them. Love to interact and love to engage, love to learn and love to pass on anything that I've learned as well.
Well, Don's a great instructor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the Life Sciences Communication Department. And I always love talking to him. And as I say, he'll be back next week. So be sure to join us then. I'm DP Knuton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and he is
Don Stanley.
And we'll be talking at you next week. Bye-bye.